Thank you for spending some time with KHSU and with me, Wendy Butler. And of course, with Art Waves, which starts right now. The Redwood Art Association is a longstanding member of the Humboldt County community, founded in 1956, and some six decades later, in 2012, was able to purchase its own building located at 603 F Street in Eureka. One of the ways its board of directors has sought to develop its permanent home is a mural that will be painted on the exterior of the building. In the studio to talk about the mural, as well as RAA's other plans for 2019, is board of directors member Benjamin Funky. So there is a mural concept that's, I guess it's been around for a couple of months because RAA contacted me a couple of months ago about this. There is a, in the building that Redwood Art Association owns at 603 F Street in Eureka, there will, within the next year, I'd probably say.
Correct, yeah. I think where you have it slated to be painted, and slated to be painted in August of this coming year of 2019.
Lucas Thornton is going to be painting the mural. Is there a title?
I'm not sure about the title of it. I know that that concept was presented to us. So his original drawing or his design was brought to the board of the Redwood Arts Association.
Now I'm looking at the image that is on the Redwood Art Association website. Mm-hmm. It's intriguing because I see it's rectangular.
Correct.
And right now it has empty canvases.
Correct.
And figures standing, human figures standing next to each one of those canvases.
Right. So the idea, I think, is that the side of the building is going to be acting as if it were a window. And you are going to be seeing through the side of the building and looking into the interior of the gallery. And what you would see are paintings on the wall and patrons in the gallery. And then those spaces that you see that are blank, the blank canvases and the blank silhouettes of people, those are opportunities for people to donate money to the Redwood Arts Association and have either their likeness or someone else's likeness painted into the side of the building or painted on the mural. So say, for example, your parents are patrons of the arts and you want to honor them in some way. You could pay to have their likeness painted on the side of the building. Or say you're an artist yourself and you want to have one of your paintings represented as one of the canvases, you could do that as well. So there are lots of opportunities for people to have their own kind of vision of what this mural could be. And we're using this as a fundraiser. The mural was donated, so someone paid for the entire mural to be painted. And we were going to sell the spots available on the mural to raise money to for building maintenance. So we have to repaint the side of the building, or we have to repaint the whole building, actually. And that is a very significant cost. And so that, you know, this type of fundraiser is going to help paint the building.
So it's an anonymous donor?
It is not. No, it's Linda Weiss was the donor for the mural.
For the mural.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
And Linda is also on your board of directors.
That's correct. Yep.
So in terms of this mural, I want to launch a little bit further into the concept, but what I'm looking at, and you can see this too, is on the very right side, I see also what could be, when it's painted, it could be an additional window,
mm-hmm.
or the idea of a window, and then one canvas. Kind of like a principal
Correct.
Canvas.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, it's like the Mona Lisa or something, right?
And so I'm thinking that because that's individualized, perhaps a larger donation is asked for that.
I would imagine so. I don't know that specifically, but that's a very good idea.
And then underneath,
that's the actual windows to the gallery.
The actual, so like when we're walking by, that's not going to be painted.
No.
That those are actual windows we're going to see.
Correct.
Next to the painted windows.
Correct.
That is really fascinating.
Yeah, it's a really interesting design. Where everyone's pretty excited about actually seeing this come to fruition, because we've been working on it for, behind the scenes, we've been working on it for a while. So it's good to finally get this thing going.
You're hoping you'll be able to have Lucas start painting it within the next few months?
I think we're slated for August. I'm not 100% sure on that. I know that we had to book Lucas out because he's an in-demand artist. And we also had to prepare the building for him to paint it. So we wanted to get the actual maintenance part of the painting of the building done before Lucas comes in and puts like the icing on the cake.
Not only is it exciting that there is going to be a mural there facing
6th Street. Facing 6th Street, correct, yeah.
Not only is that exciting, but it's also exciting that it is going to be painted on the building at 603 F Street that Redwood Art Association owns.
Correct.
Which happened several years ago.
Yeah, I think it was in 2012 is when they actually acquired the building. I just joined the board. It would have been about a year ago. So I'm kind of a newbie there. But
now when people come in to see the gallery, they come, they have the opportunity, and help, you know, guide me through this. They have the opportunity when they come in to go to five different galleries.
Well, there's two main spaces. So you walk in the front door, and we have the main gallery, which is two stories. So you come in, and there's a large gallery space, and then there's a set of stairs that goes up to the second floor that has an opening that you can see the first floor from. That's what I would consider the main gallery, and all of our main shows that we have annually or monthly. That's where they take place. So we'll have themed group exhibitions that will occupy those big spaces. In addition to that, we have four galleries upstairs and one small gallery downstairs. And those spaces are primarily for our members to rent out and have their own solo exhibitions. So every year, we can have up to 60 solo exhibitions for our artists in our community.
The Redwood Art Association is arguably the oldest nonprofit art organization in this area.
Without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, I think it was started in 1956, so we're approaching our 62nd year, which is pretty impressive, in all things considered. And it's also kind of a crucial moment in our in our community for arts organizations. You know, we're seeing things like the Third Street Gallery going away, and so now we're having less available spaces for art. So I think it's super valuable to, you know, protect and to support the things that are going on now, and now looking at moving forward in a new way.
And the thing about Redwood Art Association that also makes it different than, say, a regular business that gives some of its space to visual or performing art, the Redwood Art Association is fueled by its membership.
Correct.
It relies on its membership.
That's right. Yeah, we have, I think, 300 members currently. And it is contingent on having those members active. And that's our sustaining element is our membership.
Now there are some interesting, right now we're between shows mm-hmm. at Redwood Art Association at the gallery. The next show that is going to be happening, the next exhibition is when?
It's January 23rd is the opening of that exhibition, and it's a new year themed exhibition. I believe that there are awards for all of the different categories. We'll have a judge come in and award prizes to, and these are all members. So this is, we'll have a theme for the show. Members will bring in work that applies to the theme, and then there's a judge that will award prizes for those members. And that the entry day for that is January 19th. So if you're interested in being a member, you can come in with your work on that day, join, leave your artwork and it'll be on the wall in 4 days.
Now, you said something about a theme. Are we going to know ahead of time, ahead of January 19th?
I think this one is just wide open. I think this is like a choose your own, but there will be, you know, themes about form or abstraction or portraiture, whatever the case is. And those rotate every month.
Okay, throughout the next year.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing that's happening with RAA during the new year is the Oliver Ranch field trip.
Correct, yeah.
And so as far as a field trip goes, I don't know that I recall Revit Art Association ever taking a field trip.
Yeah, this must be new, uncharted territory. But this is a really exciting opportunity. It's a world-class collection of public sculptures or outdoor sculptures.
Let me ask you, how did you find out about this? How did you find out about Oliver Ranch?
Well, when I first moved here from Chicago, just generally having an interest in, you know, sculptural works and, you know, public art opportunities and things like that, I came across the Oliver Ranch. And so I was reading on their website, and I called them up and I asked if what are the stipulations for making a reservation to take a tour. So they let me know. They were very courteous, and they said, you know, unfortunately, we have a very long wait list. It's like 4 years before there's an opening for you to come. And when you do come, you have to be affiliated with a nonprofit organization. You have to raise X amount of dollars in order to do it. You can only bring a maximum of 4 vehicles at a time. Now, those 4 vehicles could be Ford Escorts, or they could be vans, or they could be buses. So there's a lot of stipulations in order to get into Oliver Ranch, which is good. I'm glad that they have the rules. So anyway, I asked if they would have any cancellations to call. And that way, because since we're close, we can get down there pretty easily. They did. They had a cancellation. And so I kind of huddled up a bunch of community members and students and said, hey, let's go do this. And so I think it was about a year and a half ago, we got to go see this amazing collection of work.
So you went with a group of students and colleagues.
Correct, yeah.
And under what organization?
All of this benefited the Sanctuary in Arcata. It's the arts art space here. So we kind of piggied it off that nonprofit. And so we charged, you know, a flat rate for people to go as a donation. All that money went to the Sanctuary. And that covered all of the costs to get down there and back. And while we were there, it was just an unbelievable experience. Stephen Oliver, who is the owner of that ranch and is the primary collector of all of that work, he personally leads the tour. And I got to know him. And after we got back from the trip, I called him back and asked, you know, I said, thank you, I appreciate the opportunity, and if we ever get another chance to go, please let us know. And so at that time, they just gave me another date.
And that's Benjamin Funke, member of the Redwood Art Association's Board of Directors. He's also associate faculty at College of the Redwoods and sculpture lab technician here at HSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. Benjamin is speaking about a trip he, along with students and community members, took to Oliver Ranch in Geyserville. He was able to secure a second date, and this one for Redwood Art Association, to offer members and the community a field trip to the ranch. And that's going to be May 17th.
Correct. Yeah, May 17th. It's going to be very fun. It's a really, I mean, I say it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, even though I'll be going twice. It is a really, it's a world-class exhibition, installation. Just the scope of these projects are massive.
What kind of rancher is he?
He purchased this land for a sheep farm for his daughter back in like 1981 or something. And I think even on the website, it says something like a 4-H project gone bad or something like that.
And so does he hire sculptors to create works to go on his site?
Yeah, so he and his wife started collecting work in the 80s, and I guess they were a little bit like disillusioned by working with gallerists, where he would go to a gallery and say purchase something off the wall, and the artist gets a check in the mail or whatever the case is. And I believe he thought it was a little bit impersonal. You know, he doesn't get a chance to meet the artist, doesn't get a chance to work with them. And this guy, I mean, he built his whole nest egg on construction. He builds high-rise buildings in San Francisco. So he's got the money, he's got the passion, and he's got the equipment to do this. And so then he just started approaching these blue chip artists. I mean, people that you're paying millions of dollars for works. He's working with them and designing a piece and building it on his property. And it's, you know, basically for him. We're just very lucky that he opens the doors and lets people come in and see it.
You're a sculptor?
That is correct.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, as a sculptor, you're going there and you're looking at this work, and I'm thinking that it can inspire different kinds of emotions in artists going, one, it can be envy,
mm-hmm.
right? Two, it could be inspiration for future work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of pieces there that are showcased in other formats. There's a PBS does Art 21, which is a very popular arts show. And one of the artists that's represented in that series is Martin Puryear, sculptor. And the piece that's in that show is the piece that's on Oliver Ranch's property. So it's talking to Martin and Steven during the installation of that work. So if you can kind of cheat a little bit and see that piece being installed before you go, and you learn a little bit about it. But it is really impressive because these things are monumental works. The Anne Hamilton one is, I mean, I won't spoil it, but it is epic.
How did it inform your own work?
How did it inform my own work?
Yeah.
I would say if anything, it's informed my like service to the community, community outreach. Having opportunities like this, you know, my passion to go see this, I kind of see it as encouraging others, encourage others to go too, because it is a really cool thing. And that, you know, in turn is generating a lot of funds for a nonprofit organization here. So I would say that it informs my practice in that way, where it's not about necessarily my creation of things, but my support to other people to see and create things.
And again, this is another opportunity for people who are considering becoming RAA members, because you do need to be a member to be included in. No, okay.
No, actually, you can be a non-member and go. However, there's a difference in price to go, and the difference in price is the cost of a membership. So you could become a member and pay a little less to go on the trip and get all the benefits of being a member.
And the benefits of being a member include obviously having a space in which to exhibit your work.
Correct. Yeah. And that's kind of rare because we're seeing some of these arts organizations, these spaces disappearing, and there's not many opportunities for anyone just to show work.
Do you have to be a working artist to become a member of the Revit Art Association?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can just be a passionate patron of the arts, and that's absolutely sufficient.
To keep a long time organization going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's definitely something that we want to... what other things do we want to think about in terms of the new year? You have a paper in front of you,
yeah,
which you're looking at.
I had so many notes, I was kind of panicked. I was like, there's so much information to remember off the top of my head. We have a couple of workshops coming up. Jim McVicker, he's a very, very talented local artist. Can't say enough about that guy. He's just wonderful. He has a still life painting workshop January 18th through the 20th. And he's going to teach you the process of setting up a still life, doing the lighting, composition, and think about the processes before you actually even approach putting the brush down. And then there's another one by Terry Mira, and they're talking about strategies for simplifying cityscapes and like plein air painting.
And when is that?
That's July 12th through the 14th.
Okay, but the McVicker is January 18th
yep.
through the 20th.
Yep, that's
okay.
Coming up. And then the other big thing that's coming up is in October of this year, October 7th through the 11th. And we're still kind of hammering out the details for this, but we're doing a plein air paint out.
Paint out?
Yeah.
Plein air paint out.
From what I understand, it's going to be a multi-day plein air painting. And then I think that's with Paul Ricard. And then those works that they're working on during that time will make their way into the gallery. So they'll be on display after the paint out occurs.
Are you going to be participating in the January exhibition at RAA?
I will not. I have another show going up in January.
And what show would that be?
I have a show called Dazzle Ships that's opening up at Black Fawn Gallery in Eureka. And that opens on January 5th. So the Arts Alive event will be January 5th. And I think it goes through February 23rd.
Is it a solo show or are you partnering?
It is a solo show. I've been busting my hump.
Well, what works are we going to be treated to? What kind of...
I have roughly 40 pieces that are going in this exhibit. 20 of them are new sculptures. It ranges in materials from steel and wood compositions to bronze. I have three 16-millimeter projections. And there are 8 drawings.
You have some 16-millimeter projections as
correct,
well.
Yeah, yep.
Projections of...
They're like structuralist films. They're not really of anything. There's content, but it's mostly color and form. And these are on loops. So I do all the work digitally, you know, working on a computer, and then I send it off to be printed to 16 millimeter. And then I'll tape the first frame and the last frame together and run it through the projector. So it never ends. So it just constantly feeds through the machine.
Are your sculptures more abstract?
Yes. Yeah, these are going to be all abstract.
And the name of the show is what again?
Dazzle Ships.
Dazzle Ships.
Yeah, it's referring to dazzle camouflage, which is what they would paint on the side of World War I vessels. Kind of this hard edge abstraction. The primary intent of this was that it wasn't as like camouflage is to conceal things, to hide things. Like you would see if you're going to go hunting or something. It's not that type of camouflage. This was all about confusing people so that when if you were looking from shore or from another ship through a telescope or a spotting scope or something like that, you would see this thing in the distance, but you would not be able to tell its direction, its speed, which direction it's traveling. You know, it was intended to confuse.
Is that what you've done with those sculptures?
That's right. Yeah.
Your intention to confuse us.
The materials are there to confuse. So, you know, there's a lot of things that would look like something else, or you're going to ask yourself how it's made. It looks like one thing, but it's actually completely not that thing. And you'll see a lot of similarities of the works between pieces, but they're, you know, they're different, totally different as far as what they're made of and how they're made and things like that.
Is this a new direction for you as a sculptor?
Yeah, actually, I probably started working like this in the last 2 years, and the last 6 months have been just focused, deep focus on this project.
On this type of abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, going back into, folding back into why you wanted to be part of Redwood Art Association. Mm-hmm. Why you wanted to be part of it, and what has it thus far done for you?
I've always wanted to be in a role where I could work with a community nonprofit organization. And it was probably one of the best decisions I've made in my career. It's been a lot of fun working with this board, trying to figure out the direction that this organization is going to go. They need to kind of shake it up a little bit. And they knew that. They were aware. I really enjoy working with students. That's why I'm in the profession that I am. And I'm trying to give them as many opportunities as possible. And so one of the opportunities that I'm working on is with College of the Redwoods. We offer a scholarship for art students. I think it's like $1,000 a year that goes towards art classes. They have a annual student art show at College of the Redwoods, and the recipients of the prize, like the, you know, the best in show in sculpture, the best in show in drawing. They also get free memberships to the RAA. So it's trying to give as many opportunities to emerging artists as possible. And now I say emerging, and I don't mean just students, because you can be an emerging artist at any age. We have people that are recently back from the war and now dedicated their lives to making art, or recently retired and now interested in, you know, learning how to make something. So it could be at any age, but it's just trying to get the interest and the activity of people that are interested in art. And that's the one thing I really enjoy about working with the RAA, is the ability to do that.
Benjamin Funke, member of Redwood Art Association's Board of Directors. For information, including that about upcoming exhibits, workshops, and how to donate to the planned mural, as well as to purchase tickets for the Oliver Ranch field trip, you can visit redwoodart.us, or you can phone 268-0755. That's all the time we have for Art Waves today. Art Waves will not be broadcast next Tuesday, January 1st, as KHSU will be airing a special New Year's edition of Capital Steps. Art Waves will return on Tuesday, January 8th. In addition to airing each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. for regular broadcast, Art Waves is available anytime online at khsu.org. And podcasts are available for download from iTunes as well. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. And happy holidays to you, and happy New Year.